I'll go ahead and call the fire committee meeting to order here on February 2nd, 10:32 a.m. in the morning. And since we don't have a quorum here, we'll go ahead and just take that as information only approving the minutes for December 1st. But we'll go ahead and go to item number two, update on the fire department calls for service.
Right. Well, we've got to have a quorum.
Right.
So no votes can be taken. No actions can be taken.
That's why I deferred it to.
If there's a discussion item you want to put on the record, that's certainly okay, Chief.
We wouldn't have any. We didn't have any action items anyhow. So it was just for discussion.
Right. Hey, look at that.
Oh. All right. We'll start over. All right. Welcome. Item number one is approval of the minutes from the December 1st meeting. Second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye. All right. We'll go to item number two, Chief. Or Eric, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll just say that, just to lead it off, that we're continuing to see a shift in our calls for service from fires to medical response. And I know Chief has a good presentation for you. I think you'll notice that under the Chief's leadership, we've had to reshape the operations of the fire department. They're still as good as ever at putting out fires. But we can't ignore the fact that we have getting close to 5,000 calls for a medical response. Yeah. So that being said, I'll let you go ahead, Chief.
Good morning, y'all. Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to share some valuable information that will enlighten you all with some of the challenges that we are having. Like Mr. Morris said, we have had a tremendous shift in call volume in the last 2 years. I've got some slides that I'm present with some of the issues and some of the challenges that we have and some of our solutions. What we have here.
What's your back?
I'm so sorry. I'm good here.
Don't worry about it.
Am I good now?
There you go.
I just got one piece of paper. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry.
Gary, he couldn't see the chief.
Am I good now?
Yes, sir. You're good.
What you see here is a chart that compares calls for the last 2 years. As we see in 2012, the Golden Fire, we responded to 205 fires. In 2013, 191. This past year, 202. As you see, with medical calls, we went from 3,900 up to 4,700. And the other calls, which I will give you an explanation on another slide, went from 1,700 to 2,700. And from 2012, we ran a total of 5,900 to almost 7,700 calls this year. The second slide shows you where the breakdown is. Basically, we had at fires. You see, fires are almost tail even. We got a total of three less fires over that time period. But as you go with our calls, medical calls in 2012 increased 297, in 2013, 528, and this past year, we have an increase of 825 medical calls. And as a two-year period adds up, that's 916 calls in medical, but a total increase calls for service 1,738 in the last 2 years of response time. As I break down other calls besides medical and fire, these are some of the categories we run. Anywhere from the hazard condition service calls, good intents, but the vast majority of our calls are related to good intent or false alarms. So we put all of those in those categories. Also on top of this, what I want to emphasize is the required training that we do here. The core means of training that's required by DHEC and by our government agencies. And we have special training, additional training, and one I really want to talk about is our PE training. We have, as you know, mandated an hour of physical fitness for everybody in the department. And that CON Med is the necessary medical training that our paramedics, EMTs have to respond to. So, for the year of 2014, we did 37,646 hours of training. Staff activity, besides the training, besides the call, we do other activities in the community that we make aware of. For the year of 2014, we did 1,950 hours of other activities, which include our smoke detector, our great CPR class, hydrogen testing that we do on semi-annual pre-fire training, and also our district coverage. And basically, we go through the district, update our map books and our public appearance. So all of those we've done besides our medical calls and training, those are activities we do out to the community each year. My issue I'm having...
Excuse me, Chief, when you say give out to the community, you charge them for that?
No, sir. I mean, give out service we give to the community.
Oh, okay.
But basically, it's a service that we provide to the community. Like, for example, smoke detection installation. We will install smoke detectors with a call, or you can come in and change smoke detector batteries on residents. Just give us a call, and those are things we do. Those are the CPR classes.
I'm just kidding.
Give us a call, sir. We'll be there.
How about the CPR classes? You give those out to the public as well?
Yes, to the public. They do it publicly. We got schedules. We go on our website. The public can register class on the website. And we give them like every first Saturday at our Bowman Road station for the public. So, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of citizens we train each year.
Great.
Supervision. With the call volume I have, it has increased and it has put a demand on the supervision I have on the street. Right now, I have four battalion chiefs that work in this area, one on A shift, one on B shift, and two on C shift. My future plan is I need to break my district into two districts, a north district and a south district. And I need basic battalion chiefs to work each one of those districts. Because what I'm afraid of is that many times we get caught a call on one end of the district, and I don't have the proper supervision of the end of the district. By the time that chief get there, that is mitigated, they're not assisted. So my plan is that I need two more battalion chiefs to operate in those positions. So what I plan on doing right now for interim solution, I have four captains that have went through my qualification manual, which is part of my succession planning, is that they are qualified to act as battalion chief. They have all the training. Now they cover when I got a battalion chief on duty, I got one call out sick. What I want to do, starting on weekdays after 4:30, is put one of those guys in a vehicle and break the time up, and also do it on weekends and holidays. As much as I can, as my overtime budget or staffing will allow me to do it. I have four people now qualified to act in those positions. I've talked to men, Eric has talked about this, and in the near future we'll come up with a plan so we can get a permanent solution to it. But right now, this is what I plan on doing. I'm not going to be able to have one on duty every shift, but as much as my overtime budget and man will, I will have two on duty, which I think will give me the supervision that I feel comfortable with right now. So with call volume has increased, I'm going to need more manning. I mean, more supervision. Just to give you an idea, from January 1st to today, we've run 740 calls. If you multiply that time 12, we're at the rate of running 8,880 calls, or increase of over 1,200 calls this year, previous to last year. So that's what kind of volume that we're anticipating. So there, and my concern is getting some more supervision to assist with all this call volume that we have.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Thompson, Mr. Marshall, Chief, as you indicated, you have four active battalion chiefs that have been trained.
You get four captains that can train an active position. Yes.
Okay. In listening to your comments, and when you talk about having a battalion chief in the north end and in the south end, as we move forward, do you anticipate that you would want a battalion chief assigned on a permanent basis as we move into the future, as the calls, medical type calls, continue to increase?
Yes, I think that's something me and Eric have talked about, and the calls, I'm sure we're going to have to need that. There's going to be a need for that on a permanent basis, so I can break it up in 2 days. We have one, have two on duty each year. As call volume increases, there's going to be a demand for that supervision, yes.
So in your estimation, say within the next 2 to 3 years, how many additional employees would you feel comfortable with to fill that requirement?
Right now, I have different plans to make that work, which I don't think would be a very, very burden on necessary personnel. And honestly, to answer that question honestly, I would have to evaluate data and call volume to give you an honest answer. I'm not going to give you an answer without having some data and some information to justify my reason for it. And once I get that, me and Eric discuss it. And I do know, and me and Eric have talked about it at length, is getting, right now my priority is getting the most supervision on the street versus, I got personnel, but my challenge is getting supervision to supervise that personnel. And we, as you know, we have numerous calls going on at the same time. The same different part of the time.
Sure.
But as data come forward, me and Eric will evaluate it, and then I can present to Eric and Council a according to data of what I need. Right now, I'm justifying. I can't give you a complete answer right now.
And just one last question. When we look at the increase in the number of medical calls and that type, have you found that the majority of those calls would be for the senior aging population?
That has been a great indicator, a great factor with it. We have numbers where our aging population is increasing. There is more demand for aging population as it is.
Thank you.
If I may, Mayor Pro Tem, Chairman Santos, probably going into next year's budget, if I understood the spirit of your first question, our major priority as far as the fire department is concerned is to handle the full burden of the manning of Fire Station 6, which will go into effect. After that, it becomes how to manage this battalion chief situation against the other needs of the departments. It's, you know, but handling the manpower for Fire Station 6 will be the big nut to overcome.
Thank you.
That is all on the on my call volume.
Thank you, Chief. That's good information, and you'll present this at the council meeting as well, so the other council members have an opportunity to see you as well.
Yes, sir. If you would like, I would too.
Yeah, I think that'd be good to do. We could do that during the fire committee report. And Mr. Burns, if you want to give your name and address for the record.
John Burns, 1411 Breckin Road. Chief, this is unrelated, but we've got a meeting with Jim Newsom with the port coming up after this. It's my understanding that we provide water and sewer to the port at Longpoint, but they handle their fire suppression. They have their own above ground tank.
We provide fire suppression to the port. They pay monthly call. They pay for fire protection.
Right.
What we are paying each month, but we provide all fire protection.
But they have their own water source, is my understanding.
They have a hydrant system. Yes, they do. And we check those hydrants just like we do our hydrants. We check them semi-annually also. Check every hydrant out there. They have. You almost can spot a hydrant in one of those black poles they got out there. They got a hydrant, but we catch them on semi-annual basis like we do the rest of our hydrants. But we provide the fire service, but they do have a water supply out there.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chief, on the 911 system, the consolidated dispatch, how's that working? And then we have a timeline on from time to call to time to show up on site to maintain our national accreditation. How is that working?
It worked well. We don't have any issue with maintaining our time response and our accreditation. We're meeting all the accreditation. We have to send out an annual report. Annually, and Chief Wagner just sent one in with our reports, and we were approved, so we are meeting those requirements. We are.
Okay. I sat and talked to Chief Lucy as well. If I had one issue of concern that the residents had, once we find out, I know our timeline, I know our staff, but it's the timeline of when we find out and having that affect our end time of getting there.
May I address this for a minute, Mr. Glass? You all approved that media budget for us to put MDTs into our vehicles. And we will have MDTs in all our vehicles, which will give us ability to see the call simultaneously with the rest of the county, like medical call. We'll be able to see the calls when they come out. That will help with any kind of lag in from the time they get the call to we receive the call. So that has already been approved. We're in the process now getting those MDTs installed into our vehicle. So that will solve any kind of lack of response time that may be. But even with that, we still are meeting our accreditation standard. That will only improve us.
So when I dial 911, that'll automatically hit those systems?
It comes on when it's whenever dispatchers get their call on MDT, they will pop up out of the battalion chief or people able to see any call that is pinned, any call that is ready to happen to be in MDTs.
Excellent.
And so we're grateful for that adjustment that was made in mid-year, so we have those MDTs installed.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Chair, can you put up the other side for me, please?
I will say I'm not really convinced that the consolidated dispatch is the best way to go. I had a situation where I had to call for them to check on somebody at one of the hotels that I used because I couldn't get an answer early in the morning, and they sent them to the wrong hotel to check on. So it turned out the guy was actually supposed to be helping a guest, but he didn't answer the phone, and I'm thinking, this is unusual because it's 24 hours, you're there all the time. And so I called 911 to get a welfare check to make sure something didn't happen to this guy, and they showed up at a hotel down down because it was a consolidated, you know, if it was a Mount Pleasant police, then he would know exactly where to go. But since Consolidated got it, they sent him to another hotel. So I'm not really convinced that Consolidated was, but anyhow, it's just my opinion. Okay, Chief, go ahead.
Update to Station 5, Station 6. This is how Fire Station 6 will look once we finish it. This is what we approved through us and also through the Board of Design from Carolina Park, which is a beautiful station. That is, and what I would like to say about this station is that we have a lot of input from our personnel inside the fire stations, and basically this is a design that they came up that they would like, and I just thought it was important for the personnel that live in that station to have some idea on how it looks. And with their ideas from Carolina Park, this is the approved design of how that station would look. This is out of Carolina Park. I just want to give you a brief where we're at now with it. In November, as you can see, we cleared the site. We had the retention pond built. We had some testing done, had some road testing done. We did all the erosion settlement control put in place. In December, we continued to do prep work on the site, like the 8-foot was had crushed stone put on it. The rear parking was defined and hit had crushed stone, and the drive and the rear driveway was confirmed was kept and put stone. And also we did additional surveys so we could locate the corners and the critical setbacks of the property. That happened in December. Last month, parking lot and driveway prepared and rolled with crushed stone. We have all the concrete curb has been installed. Drainage basin has been excavated and graded. We have a building survey has been completed and located the building corner for the part of the foundation. We have the rebar delivered for the foundation. And actually, we started the foundation work on January the 15th, so we're in the process of now building that foundation. With that fire station, they had to go down to a minimum of 3 feet for the foundation to be poured, and so they're in the process. If you take the opportunity to ride by there, you will see all the rebar and stuff in the air and settling for the foundation. Once we get the foundation started, we would be able to go ahead and get the building started. Basically, Fire Station is a steel frame building that is wrapped in material, which will last us a long time. As you all know, this is also a substation for the police department also. So that is where we're at right now with our status with Fire Station number 6.
Okay. Any questions, Ken? All right. Any questions from the audience? All right, guys. Anything else? No further business. We're adjourned. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, I do want to say something, please. Did y'all get a chance to see the Devin Charge report on Channel 5? Devin Charge came and rode with us and did a excellent piece on Channel 5. And do we have it on our website? If you go on our Facebook, we have the whole presentation on our Facebook, and it highlighted our change in business and the reason why we did this, do what we're doing. And it's a great piece, and she did a great job. Please go to our Facebook, pull it up. It's got the whole.